The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. On Yom Kippur, we read in the Torah, the parsha from Achrei Mos, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, what the obligations were in Yom Kippur, both in far, as far as the aspect of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, what the Kohanim did in the Beis HaMikdash in the Temple, and also what our obligations were. There's a number of things that need clarification. In the portion that's in Vayikra Tesayin, Parshas Achrei Mos, it states, Vayoyim HaShem al Meisha, Daber el Aare Nochicho ve'al Yovo b'chol Eis al HaKodesh, v'beis laporochus al Penei HaKaporis HaShel al HaOren. Speak to Aaron, your brother, and he should not come all of the time to the Kodesh, from the house to the Pareches, to the curtains, El Penei HaKaporis, to the front of the Kaporis, which is on the Oren. The Beis HaMikdosh, there was the courtyard, and then there was the sanctuary. The sanctuary was divided into two sections. One was known as the Kodesh. There was the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar. There was an altar also in the courtyard. The Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Shulchan, the table, and the menorah. Then there was a second section, which was known as the Lifnai Ulifnim, the inner section, most inner section, or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. These two sections were divided with the pareches, with the curtains. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Oren HaKodesh, the Ark, which held the Luchais, the tablets, the broken tablets, both, the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote. And on top of the Oren, there was what was known as the Kaporis, and that was the golden Kruvim, two images out of gold. One of an image of a young boy, one of a young girl. Both had wings, and they were facing each other. So Aaron was instructed that he's not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, beyond the curtains, to the front of the Kaporis, of the Oren, and that was on the Oren. And if he would, it would bring upon him a death penalty. Ki be'onon eiro al kaporis. Now, only when there is the cloud. Now, Rashi explains, firstly, a cloud was always over that area, and that represented Hashem. That was the Shechina, the presence of the Almighty. And therefore, he was not allowed to go there. But also, this teaches us midrashay lo yovei ki im be'anon hakteris b'yom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, he was allowed to go there, and that was when a special cloud of incense was burnt for Yom Kippur. Ki bezos yovei arin al hakodesh, and then the Torah starts to tell us what would be his sacrifices when he went. So the first question is we see that the entire year he was never allowed to go into this section, except on Yom HaKippurim. Why on Yom Kippur? And why only with this cloud of incense? This is explained, this is elaborated a little further in Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'nosa nesakteiris ala esh lifnei Hashem v'chiso anan akteiris esakapeiris asher alo edus v'la yomus. That he should take the incense and put it on the fire before Hashem, and then the cloud from the incense will cover the kaporis, which is on the testimony. Further, it states, it tells us what sacrifice he would bring. He would bring a par, a bull. Then it states, Ksenis bad kodesh yilbosh, u'michnes evad yil besorei, u'va'avnei bad yachkor, u'mitznefes bad yitznef. He would put on four garments that were all from linen and all white. And Rashi explains, Magid sheinu mishamesh lifnim bishmeinu megodim, shumishamesh behem bachutz, sheish behem zov. Generally, he would wear eight garments, and those eight garments had gold in them, and they were made of other colors also. On Yom Kippur, he would wear the eight garments when he served outside. But when he went into the innermost chamber, he would change, and he would put on four garments and white ones. So second question, why not the eight garments? Why the ones he usually wore? And why only white ones? Further states, V'rachatz b'mayim es besorei leveshum. And then he would cleanse himself in water. This means a tefila b'mikveh. He would immerse himself in a mikveh and he would put on his clothing. Rashi tells us that he would have to immerse himself in a mikveh every time he changed his clothing. When he served inside and put on the white garments, and then when he served outside and put on the other garments, and then when he changed again to go in, and it was a total of five times he would change, and he would need five tefillas b'mikveh. So why so, what was the emphasis here? Further it states that he would bring a sacrifice besides for himself, a special sacrifice for Yisrael. And it would be known as a chatos, a sin offering. And these were two goats. Now this was unusual, to bring two goats. And then the Torah tells us, a little further, what did he do with the two goats? He would stand them up, and he would take geirolos, he would take lots. On one lot would be written Hashem, and the other one would be written Lazozel. And he would put both hands into the box that had both of these lots, and take a lot out with each hand, and put that on top of the goat. And the goat, that one goat would have the lot that said Hashem, and the other one had the lot that said Azazel. V'nosan ha'arein ha'shnei ha'sidim geira los. Geira lechor la'shem v'geira lechor la'zozel. What would he do now? V'ikri v'aron esoyer asoyer asher olo lo v'geira la'shem v'oso chatos. The one that came out with the name of Hashem, that he would make a sacrifice from. He would accept it, and its blood would be brought into the Beis HaMikdosh. The one that had the gorel that would say Azazel, that one he would not slaughter. But that would be sent to Azazel into the desert. And a little further, the Torah elaborates a little more on that. And it states in Pasuk Chof Aleph, V'somach ha'arein eshtei yodov al reish ha'sorei achai. After he made a sacrifice from the first one, he would take the live goat, put his hands on it, v'izbado lo v'skol avenis b'nei Yisrael, and he would place, place on the goat all of the averis of Yisrael. It's called pishem lechol chatoson. All of their averus. Nosan esem areish asoy. And then v'shilach b'yarish iti amidboro. and would be sent into the Midbar, into the desert, be sent over a rocky, jagged mountain. Azazel means a very barren, rocky place. But the Chazal, the sages say, Azazel also means to the Sotam. V'nosa asori olov es kol aveinosam el eres gzero. And this goat would carry all of the aveders of Israel to this barren place. V'shilach es asori b'midbor. He would send it into the desert. Now this is something that we never find in other times, and it's something which seems quite strange, that you would take the aveiros and place them on the head of that goat and send them to Azazel. Then the Torah tells us further that, and Yud Beis, Lokach Malei Machto Gachalei Ish Bi'al HaMizbeach Melifnei Hashem, he would take coals from the altar, Umalei Chofn of Keteris Sami, and he would take a handful of incense from the Mizbeach HaKeteris, from the altar of the incense, Dako, very fine, and he would take it, bring it in from the outside to the inside, to the curtain. And there he would put the ketores, and the cloud would cover, again, like we said, the kapores, which was on the orem. Now it states dako, very fine. Rashi tells us, matam le medako, vale kol ketores dako, all incense. The halacha was l'shachachtu mimeno hodek, had to be very, very fine. So what does it mean, fine? El shtei dako min adako. Yom Kippur was an exception, that on the erev Yom Kippur, hoyemach zira lemachteshes, they would take the incense, it would be ground fine, but then it would be returned to the grinders and made doubly fine. So this is another unique point we see here. Then what would he do with the sacrifice of the so'ir, of the goat, which was allocated for the sacrifice? So it tells us the Antesvov that he would slaughter the goat and he would bring its blood past the curtain, and he would do with the blood like he did with the blood of the bull, of Aaron's bull. And in the passage before, it explains that he would go all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Yaze Sheva Pomi Min Adom Be'etzbo, he would be Yaze Lifnei HaKaporis and Sheva Pomi Mipnei HaDom Be'etzbo, and he would spray the blood with his finger towards the Kaporis, towards the Oren, and that what was on top of the Oren, one time on top and seven times on the bottom, and then he would move out on the outside of the curtains and again spray the dam, one time on top and seven times on the bottom. The blood would not necessarily hit the curtains or the kaporis. Now this also is something unique, because these were the only sacrifices that its blood was brought all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Holy of Holies. Secondly, even though there was other sacrifices, the Purim HaNisrofim, that its blood was brought to the Pareches, to the curtain, but it was only sprayed seven times. This was sprayed eight times, one on top and seven on the bottom. Then the Torah tells us further . This is in Pasuk Choftes. V'ayisa lachem l'chukas alam. This should be a statute all the time. V'chedesh hashvim be'ose lachodesh. On the seventh month, which is Tishrei, the tenth of the month, which is Yom Kippur, ta'anu es nafshisechem. You shall be ma'anu. Ma'ane means humble. Humble yourselves, and you should not do any work. Now, from Tanuas Nafshi Shechem, we learn the inuim, that five inuim, that we do not eat, we do not drink, we do not anoint ourselves with oil, we do not engage in marital relations, and we do not wear shoes. It's also something difficult to understand, because these are all signs of Avelus, of mourning. And there was no mourning on this day. To the contrary, you see, it's called Shabbos Shaboson here. V'nisem es nafshi seichem. It was a Shabbos of all Shaboses. And the Gemara in Masechet Tainus, which we'll quote just in a few minutes, states, Lo hoyu yomim tovim. It was from the greatest days of joy. So what is the purpose of these inuim, of where we humble ourselves in this way? So these are a number of questions that we're asking on the mitzvahs hayom, on the mitzvahs of the day. We'll see if we can clarify some of these in the time allotted for this. Most of this, or a great deal, if not all of this, is taken from a Shabbos Shuvah shir that the Maral Miprag gave in the year Shin Mem Gimel. Was in 1582, 412 years ago, in the Beis HaKnesses HaChodesh in Prague. Beis HaKnesses, at that time it was called the Beis HaKnesses HaChodesh, the new shul in Prague. And it's printed in the back of the Sefer Ber HaGola. Now the main answer to what Yom Kippur was is found in the Parsha and Pasuk Lamed. Ki bayom haze yechaper aleichem letaherskem. On this day, I will atone you and purify you. Mikol chateisechem lifnei Hashem titoru. From all of your sins, and before Hashem, you will become purified. And then again on Lamed Aleph, Vohoyse zeis lachem lechuches olam. This shall be a statute forever. Lachaper es bnei Yisrael mikol chatosam achas peshono. To atone the children of Israel from their sins one time every year. We are speaking here of lachaper uletaher. Kapora is translated as atonement. More correctly, kapora means cleanse, the Hebrew word. To cleanse oneself and to purify oneself. This was the yesod. This was the foundation of the day. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus, Daf Chavov Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo hoyu yomim tovim liYisrael kechamishoso ba'ov uchayim haKippurim. They were not days of joy to Israel during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, like the 15th of Av and Yom HaKippurim. Shabehen b'nei Yerushalayim yetzis bechlilov v'neshulim, shelelavayis es mishenlay. On those days, the daughters of Yerushalayim would go out, the single daughters, and they would wear white clothing and they would borrow clothing in order not to embarrass someone who could not afford nice clothing. And they would go and dance in the kromim, in the vineyards. And the Mishnah actually tells us it was a day of shiduchim. This was Yom Kippur. They would sing, they would talk, and they would dance, and they would call out, Bachur sonei nechere ma'ato beireloch. They would call out to the Bachurim, lift your eyes and see what you choose for yourselves. Those that were beautiful would say, see how beautiful we are. Those that weren't so beautiful, but they came from wonderful families, they would say, Teinin echo b'mishpocho, look at the families. And so on. And then Sheker Achein, Hevel Ayefi, Sheyiris Hashem, and they would praise themselves with the Yiris Hashem. And the Mishnah continues, why on this day? V'cheino Aymar brings a pasuk from Shira Shirim. Se'erna v're'erna b'nei Sion b'melech Shloma v'atora shitra le'imai. Go out, the daughters of Zion, and look at King Solomon in the great crown that his mother made for him, b'yem chasunosei u'b'yem simchas liboi, on the day of his chasuna, his wedding, and the day of his heart's joy. What was the day of his wedding? The Mishnah says the Matan Torah. This was the day of the giving of the Torah. Rashi says, when was the day of the giving of the Torah? Yom HaKippurim. But the Torah was given on Shavuos. Shenitna b'iluchay sa'achreinus. The second tablets were given on Yom Kippur. And then the Gemara says, Yom Simchas Liboy, the day of his joy, that refers to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara, at the end of the Perikah, end of the Masechta, the Gemara says, "Bishloma Yom HaKippurim." We understand why Yom HaKippurim was such a joyous day. Mishum dis beislichu mechila. It was a day of forgiveness. It was Yom Shenitna b'iluchos achreinus. It was a day of the giving of the second tablets. But the Gemara asks, "What was the 15th of Av?" And then it goes into that discussion. So we see that Yom Kippur was a joyous day, from the most joyous days that we ever had, or we ever have, on two accounts. It was a day of forgiveness and a day of the giving of the second tablets. Rashi here, on the Aflam Ramad Beis, makes a whole cheshbon. He explains, Moshe went up on the sixth day of Sivan to receive the Torah, and he remained there 40 days. When he came back down on the 40th day, he found that the people thought he wasn't coming back because there was a miscalculation of a few hours. And they went and they made for themselves a golden calf. And that was on the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days after the 6th of Sivan. He judged the people, and on the next day returned to the mountain and stayed there for another 40 days to be mispalel to Hashem, to ask forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't listen to him. And finally, at the end of the second 40 days, which came out the 29th of Av, he told him, go back down and make yourself... Oh, and he broke the tablets when he came down. So he told him, go back down and hew out new tablets. And the next morning, return. And that came out the first day of Elul. He stayed for another 40 days. He was prayed for forgiveness for the people. And at the end of the 40 days, which from Rosh Chodesh Elul is the 10th of Tishrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Solachti kidvorecho, I will forgive the nation as you have appealed for, and I will give you the new tablets. That was the 10th of Tishrei, which is the day of Yom Kippur. And Rashi says here, and he also brings this in Parshas Ekev, that this is the source of Yom Kippur. We know, for example, the source of Pesach is because we went out of Egypt. The source of Shavuos is because the Torah was given. What is the source of Yom Kippur? This is its source. And from that day onward, the 10th of Tishrei was set aside as a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives, and as a day of Simchas HaTorah, because the Torah again was given to us. Why was it called Yom Chasunosei? It was a day of the wedding. When Yisrael went on Shavuos to receive the Torah, Yisrael then became, as it states in Parshas Yisrael, the Am Skula, the chosen nation, a Mamleches Kohanim v'Gai Kodosh, a nation of Kohanim and a sanctified people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated us from all of the nations, and he took us to him like a kala is taken to the chosen. This is why it says in Zeis HaBrocho, Hashem is Sinai Bo. Kodesh Baruch Hu came from Sinai. What does it mean he came from Sinai? It should say he came to Sinai. So Rashi brings in Parshas Yisro, Magid Shashchina Yotzer Likrosom, Hashem went out from Sinai to meet Yisrael, Kechosen HaYotze Likras Kalo, because he was taking Yisrael like a Kalo. So when Moshe was bringing the people to Sinai, Hashem went out from Sinai to meet them. And this is what is said in Tillim in the Hayom that we say on Yom Shlishi on Tuesday, that and the Amati Elakim Atem Abunei Elyon Kulchem, Klal Yisrael came to an enormous level, and Hashem said that you were almost, you were above human beings, you were Bnei Elyon, you were like angels. But tragically, when Moshe came down and they went and he found that they had betrayed Hashem, and they went after another god, they made themselves a golden calf at the end of the 40 days. So the sages refer to this as kekala shezinsa besechu poso. This is like a kala that was disloyal to her husband on the day of the wedding, on the day of the chuppah, which there couldn't be anything worse. And the king wanted to chase away his wife and destroy her. And that's what states in Parshas Kisiso, that Hashem told Moshe, "Va'ato hanicholi, va'yichar api bohem v'achalein." Leave me alone. Don't pray on their behalf. Don't appeal on their behalf. I am so angry with them that I want to consume them, to destroy them. I'll make a new nation from you. And that's what's said further in the Hayom Shel Yom Shlishi, Ochein Keorem Tamusum Ukechar Hasorim Tipolu. But I brought you up so high that you were like angels. You were beyond the Malach HaMoves, the Gemara says, above the angel of death. But Nebach, Odom to Muslim, you fell and you will die like men. You are like one of the great Sorim, one of the great princes that has fallen. And he took away the Torah from them. Moshe broke the Luchais. But Moshe won't hear from this, and so he went through this 80 days of Tfilas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, the great king was Seleach Umeichel. He forgave the people, and again he took them to himself, and again he gave them the Torah, he gave them the new tablets, and therefore, and this was on Yom Kippur, and therefore this is known as Yom Chasunoso, the day of the wedding. And it was even a greater joy than before, because we were taken back. And from many aspects, the second giving of the Torah was greater than the first giving of Torah. The sages tell us from many aspects. Because it states, Shalom, Shalom, Lerochek, Ulekorv. You extend greetings to those that come from far and those that come from near. It's brought that it's the Derech Eretz, that first you greet those that come from far and then those that come from near. Because someone to come from near, you come to someone's simcha, and you live nearby, it doesn't take that much effort, and it doesn't have to be that much will. But someone that comes from far away, from a different city, a different country, from overseas, that's someone who is putting in an awful lot of effort, and it shows a tremendous chesik and rotzon, a great desire to come. The first giving of the Torah, we didn't come from so far. The second giving of the Torah, we came from much further, because we were already chased out of the palace. And this is what the sages say, that b'mokum shebalei tshuva eimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholin lamek bai. We are all balei tshuva. And where a balei tshuva stands, someone who's a tzadik gomor, someone who was always righteous and never sinned, he cannot come to that place. Because one is coming from close and the other is coming from far away. Must understand, we speak of balei tshuva, many times we think of specific people. Now, we're a nation of balei tshuva. Yom Kippur is for the Klal Yisrael. One of the Rosh Yeshivas tells of Chaim Stein, he should be, well, very, very great, Odin Godel. When someone used to say, as a balei tshuva, this person is a balei tshuva, he used to say, Ma'ala balei tshuva. We're all balei tshuvas. We were chased out, and we came back. And because of that, we came to higher levels than we did, than we were when we were first there. Now, the underlying principle of the tshuva and the kapora of Yisrael, which is unique from all other nations, actually Yom Kippur was given to Yisrael, not given to the other nations, like we spoke on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was given to the whole world, but Yom Kippur to Yisrael. There are two types of sins. There's one type which is known as Ara be'etzem, where in essence a person is evil. That's, for example, Esav and his chaverim, his seed Amalek, the seven nations that occupied Eretz Canaan. They are in essence evil. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed destruction on them. He said, you should eradicate Amalek, because they have no place in his future malchus, his future kingship. Then there's another type of sin. That's not a rabbi etzim. That's a superficial sin. A person does bad. He did bad. But you cannot say that he is bad. Sometimes a person does bad because he is bad. Other times, a person does bad, but he's not bad. He did badly. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, Posuk, Hey and Vov. He's writing there that a parable that Klal Yisrael says to the nations. Shcheira ani, I am blackened, benova. But within I'm very beautiful. It's a superficial blackness. It is merely like the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a nation that would wander from one place to the other in the desert, and their tents were always blackened by the sun and by the wind and by the dust, the sandstorms. Al tiruni shani shechar chores. Do not look at me because I am so blackened, because shesofasni hashomesh, because it's merely superficial. And Rashi brings on this he says that they are saying that the daughters of Israel are saying our husband has left us because he wasn't happy the way we looked, but you should know we look like that mipnei haksomim, because of the rains and because we're weather beaten. We're always in the desert. But we can be cleansed. Just like the Yiriya Shlema, the Olei Kedor, just like the tents, they can be cleansed. Dugma Yizeis Emeres Knesset Yisrael Le'umes, that even though I might not look good, because Yesh Bi Oveno Egel, because I went and I served the golden calf, nevertheless, this is merely superficial. Deep down, I am Noim. I am very good and beautiful. And this means as follows, that by Israel, the evil is not from within, but rather from without. And therefore, very easily, they can cleanse themselves. And this is why they are always prepared to return to Hashem. And secondly, if it's from within, we know the Sheirish, the source of the evil. But if it's from without, where does it come from? It comes from the Girui HaYetzohora and from the nations which influence us. It comes because of the Yetzohora, the Satan, who drives us to sin, a power from without, or from the nations that influence us to do wrong. This is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he said, the people have went and made a golden calf. So he told them, Shiches Amcho, your nation is destroying itself. Sages say, why did Hashem say to Moshe, your nation? He says, Le'ami Amcho, it's not my nation, it's your nation. It's the aid of Rav. Moshe went and took masses of converts when he went out of Egypt. And Hashem said, you never discussed it with me. And they are the ones who have influenced my nation now to serve the golden calf. Or another example, Moshe told Hashem in Kisiso on Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph, Moshe said, he said, the nation has sinned a great sin, and they made for themselves a god of gold. Why did he emphasize the god of gold? So Rashi brings from the Gemara, Brochas and Yuma, Atohu Shigaram to Lehem. Do not blame them, they are not evil. He told Hashem, it's your fault. Shishpata Lehem Zov, you gave them so much gold, the kol, and you gave them everything that one would want. Mayasu Shalayachatu, how can you blame them for sinning? Moshe Lemelech Shoyamaychal Amashkeles Beno, he's an example, a king took his son, and he gave him to eat, and he gave him to drink, Umekashtoy, and he gave him beautiful clothing and jewelry, Vetele Lakis Betzavorai, and he took a purse full of golden coins and he hung it around his neck, Umamida Bepesach Bezenes, and then he goes and leaves him in front of a brothel. He says, Ma Yasa Haben Shalayechta. So is the son evil? This is what Moshe told. So both Hashem and Moshe said. Hashem said, it's the aid of Rav. It's the multitude of nations that were idolaters that caused us to sin. Moshe said, it's all the gold and everything you gave them that caused them to sin. But both were in agreement. The source, was not in Israel. And that's what is said, Nishomesh Nasatabi Tahorihi, that the soul that Hashem gave to Israel, that's pure. The wrongness, the sin, that comes from the aspect of the body or the material world that we live in, or that we are drawn after the ways of the nations of the world. The Yetzirah and the Satan that drive us to become, that our soul should become submitted to our body and other influences. Now, it is for this reason, this is the underlying principle why Yisrael is so prone to tshuva and to kapora. Kapora, we said, means literally not atonement, but to cleanse oneself. If the evil is from within, it's very difficult to cleanse oneself. If the evil is merely superficial, then it's easy to cleanse oneself. And that's what we read in the Parsha. Voices os lachem lechukes olam lechaper al b'nei Yisrael mikol chatisechem achas b'shono. That this should be once a year, a statute all of the time, that you will come before me and I will cleanse you and I will purify you. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, and on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleansed us and purified us from the great chet, sin of the golden calf, and when he gave us the Torah again and brought us up to this enormous level. And this is what Rebbe Kiva said in Masechta Yuma, the Pehe Amad Beis. Omer Rebbe Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you Yisrael, because lifnei mi atem metarim umi metareskem. Before who do you purify yourselves, and who has purified yourselves? Avichem shebishamayim, your Father in heaven, as it states, v'zarakti aleichem ayin tohorim, he will pour on us waters of purification. Umikol gliluchechem, gliluleichem atareskem, I will purify you from all which is not clean. The Eimer, Mikvi Yisrael Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael is like a mikveh. Just like a mikveh is metare es hatmeim, purifies those who are impure, so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu metare es Yisrael. It purifies Yisrael. The Maral explains why is a mikveh metahir. The Maral says a mikveh cannot become tomeh, cannot become impure. So it's at the essence of Tara. And when we cleave to it, someone goes into a mikveh in totality, and there must not be anything that's waterproof on him that prevents contact between the mikveh and himself. So he comes together with that which is a source of purification, he becomes tohor. Same thing with Hashem. Hashem is our mikveh. When we come close to Hashem and there's nothing dividing us from him, then we become tohor. And this is the avoda, this is the undertaking and the mitzvah, the mitzvahs of Yom HaKippur. So now we will try to explain some of the questions that we asked. The inuyim, this that we do not eat or drink, wear shoes and so forth. It's not, heaven forbid, because of avelus. It's Yom Tov. It's not mourning. Rather, this is all which is called siluk haguf. What we are trying to do on Yom Kippur is elevate our inner selves, our souls, beyond the confines and parameter of the physical body and the physical world, like took place at the end of the 80 days when Moshe was mispalo to Hashem on that day of Yom Kippur. Because it is the material world and the earth that's in us that brings us down and that shackles us. And we have to work on freeing ourselves, to elevate ourselves. It's not a level that we can hold always, but achas b'shona, one day of the year. And therefore, we do things which
are contrary to the body. We eliminate these physical pleasures in order that the soul should be able to soar. Actually, it's brought that there are five different aspects to the soul which Hashem gave to Israel. And the five inuyim, the five aspects of how we humble ourselves physically, each one correlates with one aspect of the soul. And through this, we rise. It states that on Yom Kippur, v'yisem nikim kemalachi ashoros, we reach a level of holiness, like the malachi ashoros, like the angels of Hashem. And this is why it's brought that we say Baruch Shem Kfei Malchusei B'kol Rom out loud, because this is the shira, this is the song of the angels, and we are not on the level to say this, to sing this out loud during the entire year. And this is why that in the entire year Aaron, who represented Israel, were not able to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They could go up to the curtain, but not more. Because the Kodesh HaKadoshim was an area which really was not from this world. There was the Orem. There were the tablets, the first ones and the second ones. There was the cloud, the Shekhinah. The Kruvim represented the closeness of Yisrael and Hashem. And Al Yovei B'chol Eish, you could not come. But on Yom Kippur, where we stood at a level that even Tzadikim Gemurim could not stand. We were Balei Tshuva. We came from far. And because of this enormous desire to come back, we reached higher levels. G'day L'Tshuva Shemagas At Kisei HaKovod. As it says, Shuvu At Hashem L'Kech. So great is Tshuva that it reaches right to the throne of the Almighty. As it says, you should return to Hashem Himself. And this is the reason why we find that we never sprayed the blood of the sacrifices 8 times. Maximum was 7 times. Because 7 times represents the Shiva Shimei Breishis, the 7 days of creation. 8 times, it represents something beyond the 7 days of creation. And Yom Kippur was beyond that. Because in the 7 days of creation, this is of the physical world, that contains the spiritual world, the soul. But on Yom Kippur, when there was a separation of the soul from the physical world, so this went beyond that level. And there were 8 times sprayed in the Beis HaMikdash. And Aaron, when he went to the inner chambers, he was not allowed to wear his regular garments because they were gold. And the Gemara says, Ein k'teger nasis neger. How can you use the golden garments to bring forgiveness to us from a sin of the golden calf? Because it was the gold that caused it. It wasn't Yisrael, but rather the outside influences, like the example that we gave of a king that gives gold and everything to a son and then lets him go wherever he wants. So therefore those he had to use outside, but not inside. And inside he used white clothing, because white represents, white has no mixture in it. The colors represent this world. The white represents something which is nivdal, something which is separated from this world, which is above this world. There is nothing foreign mixed into it. The reason why he required so many tefillahs Rochatz B'mayim, because he was seeking a level of extra super purity. And now we come to the two seirim, the two goats. This is something which is very deep. The Gemara tells us that of all of the animals, the blood of the goat is most similar to the blood of man. That's why it states that when the brothers abducted Joseph, and then they took his coat, and they dipped it in blood, and they were going to go and tell their father that Chayaro, an animal, went and tore him. So it states they took the Seir Izim. They took a goat's blood, Vayitful Haksenes Badam, because a goat's blood is most similar to man's. And the Torah tells us that the reason why we take blood and place it on the Mizbeach and the altar, L'chapel ala nefesh, because the blood represents the life of man. And we would give this in order that it should be an atonement for us. So here on Yom Kippur, firstly, we will take a goat, which is a blood most similar to man's, and this would represent, the blood represented the life of the person, and this would represent how great of a life is Yisrael. We will try to take a blood which represents a great life. That was from one aspect. And then that blood was taken all the way into the Beis HaMikdash and all the way into the Kodesh and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right to the Oren and the Kaporis. And there it was sprayed. That represented even further. That represented what the nefesh of Yisrael is. What kind of life and soul Yisrael were given. Where it could go all the way to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. So that was one goat. Then there's a second aspect, and that is that this, that we have hate, that we have sin, this was not from the aspect of our nefesh, of our innermost beings. This was merely from the aspect of our material and earthly body. It was from that aspect. So on that we will take a second goat. And he would not be slaughtered. His blood wouldn't be taken in to the innermost chambers. And to the contrary, he would be sent to Azazel. This represented that we would rid ourselves of the superficial physical forces that brought down our soul. In other words, we would elevate and bring out the neshama shenasatabi, our innermost soul, and that would go all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, while the exterior forces we could free ourselves from. That would be the second goat, and we would free ourselves from that. And we would send it to Azazel. In other words, we would send it to the Sotan, and we would say, here, take it, it is not us. Now, and this we would do through Goralos, through lots, because the two lots, one imposed on the second. For example, if this one would be for Hashem, so this imposed that the second one would be for Azazel. And that's the same thing with Israel. From the fact that they are capable of going so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that imposed that the hate did not come from themselves. Otherwise they would not be capable of going so close to Hashem. But rather it imposed that the hate came merely from the exterior physical forces. So therefore, that would be the second goat. And it states that we would put all of our chatoim, in other words, we blame all of our sins on the physical side of man, not on the inner part of man. And we send that away. The Medrash brings, Medrash Rabbah and Perek Samachay, that when Rivka told Yaakov, go to your father and take the brochas from him that he had promised that he wanted to give to Esav. So he answered, but Esav is, he said, Vayeme Yaakov al Rivka ima hein Esav ochi isoir. But Esav is full of hair, vanechi is cholok, and I am smooth skinned. So the Medrash says, Kach Esav arosho, kol ashona kula hi mislachlech. Esav arosho, the whole year, he makes himself, he wallows in the filth of evil. And he can never rid himself from it or cleanse himself from it. Aval Yaakov Avinu Enokach. But Yaakov is not like that. Bo Yom Kippur Umischaper. Yom Kippur comes and he can cleanse himself from it. As it states, on this day I will cleanse you. And the example is that Yaakov was Ishtam, he was perfect. And this is why he was called Ishcholok. He was smooth. Esav was imperfect. He had many, many imperfections. He was a person of deceit and a person of lies. And the Torah tells us that he was full of hair. Hair is something which we constantly cut. It's an addition to the person. And the Medrash explains that if the children of Yaakov, if they grow hair, they can remove it. It's external. But by Esav, it's internal. And the goat has two aspects. Its blood is like the blood of a human being. Its body, it's called a so'ir. It's called a so'ir from the word sar, because it's full of rough hair. So we use two goats, one to show the internal greatness of Israel, and the other to show how we can rid ourselves from the external. There's another medrash in Yalkut Shmoni that states as follows: "Benoso asoy oloves avenoso meleres gzeira." We take our sins and place it on the goat, and send the goat into a barren land. Not la kodesh borchu avenaseim shel Yisrael. Hashem takes all of the sins of Israel, b'neisnein al Esav arosho, and he puts them on Esav's head. As it states, v'nosa hasoye olo ve'ein soye ala Esav. Shnemar hein Esav och isar. The goat represents Esav. And why is this? Because Esav represents, he and his group represents the evil in the world. From Esav came out atheism in the world. When he said, Hine anehi holeich lomos v'lomos eli bechora, what do I need the birthright for? There is no next world. From him came out Amalek, lo yore lekim, that denied the existence of Hashem. And all of this has an influence on the world, and it has an influence on Israel. And he is the one who is Meshabed, he enslaves Israel and scatters us amongst the nations where we assimilate with them. So therefore, our sins actually belong to him. So when we put them on the Soir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them and attributes them to Esav to purify us. What does it mean that you shall come only Ba'anan Eiro'er, when there is the cloud from the incense? Must realize that the hate, the sin, brings death. This is what we see. We see by Adam HaRishon, when he sinned, it brought death to the world. The Gemara says, the Malach HaMoves, Bahasotin, Bahayetzahore Echod, the angel of death, the Yetzahore, the Sotin, this is all one. And that's because Hashem is the source of life. Vatem advekim v'Hashem elekeichem chayim kulchem hayom. You come close to Hashem, you come close to the source of life. You distance yourself from Hashem, you distance yourself from the source of life. When the world is at a high spiritual level, there'll be enormous life in the world. When the world distances itself from Hashem, you find a world like we have today. It's full of murder and violence and everything else. And the sages teach us that the ketores, the incense, which was brought, that was a samachayim. That could help, that had a power of life in it that would stand up against the Malach HaMoves. In Parshas Korach, in Perek Yud Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph, when Korach brought the whole machlekes and he created a whole business, and Hashem went and he brought a magefa, he brought destruction to the people, and many innocents were getting killed. So Aaron said to Moshe, said to Aaron, "Kaches amachto, akteris, go quickly, take the ktoris." And Rashi brings Roze Mosale Malachamovis Kisho Ole Kia Shakteris Eitzaramagefo, that Moshe had learned a secret when he was on Har Sinai, that when there's a magefo, when there's, heaven forbid, death coming to the world, the ketores can help to stop the Malach HaMoves. Now on Yom Kippur, we are separating ourselves from the sin, we are separating ourselves from death, and we're coming close to the source of life, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, use the ketores, and this will hold back the angel of death. And then we said that there was a special ketores. This ketores was dako, fine. Even though all of the time ketores was fine, this was doubly fine. It was returned and ground a second time. So there was two ketoreses. What was its significance? The Gemara tells us that one of the major causes of death in the world is Loshon Hara. As it states, Mobis v'chaim v'yad ha-loshon. Death and life is in the hand of the tongue. We see by Adam HaRishon and by the Maraglim, the spies, we've given shurim on this. This was brought churban, destruction to the world through Loshon Hara. And the Gemara in Zvochim on Peiches Amud Bei states, Tane derbei Rabbi Shmuel al maketores mechaper. The incense came to atone specifically on Loshon Hara. Now, The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, on the Kuf Samche Omer Aleph, it says that if a man tries very hard, he can keep away from Lashon Hara. It's not easy. From slander and from words that create machlekes, he can keep away from it. But avak Lashon Hara, hakol be avak Lashon Hara. But to keep away even from the dust of Lashon Hara, that means a remote Lashon Hara, that everybody gets tripped up in. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, Ketores was brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash, and it came to atone for regular Lashon Hara. On Yom Kippur, though, when we stood in such a high level and we were coming so close to Hashem, there we needed and we were capable of bringing a kapora, of being cleansed even from the sin of the dust of Lashon Hara. So therefore the ketores was brought as a regular ketores and as a special incense, where it was ground and reground into dust, so it would bring this atonement. One final point. The Torah tells us that on Yovel, the 50th year, slaves would be freed and they would return to their homes. This was automatic. And this took place on Yom Kippur, on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel, and there would be the blowing of the shofar in order to declare this. The question is asked, what does this have to do with Yom Kippur? The answer now is as follows. Because Yom Kippur is a gula. It is a redemption. It's a shichrut. It's a freedom. The whole year we become imprisoned. We become confined to the physical influences, to the material influences, to the powers of the Yetzer Hara. We're prisoners. And this drives us away from Hashem. It's not us in essence, like Shlema HaMelech said, but it's superficial, but we are shackled by it. Yom Kippur, we become freed. We rise above this. And, like we separate the two goats, we rise above it and we free ourselves. See, Yom Kippur itself is a day of Geula, see, a day of freedom. Therefore, it was also set aside on that day to bring freedom into the world in regards to the slaves. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us. When he says, Ki vayem hazeh yechaper aleichem, on this day I will cleanse you, detayer eschem, and I will purify you, mikol chateisechem, from all of your sins. And lifnei Hashem titoru, you shall be purified before me. This should be a chukas olam, achas b'shono, a everlasting statute once every year, in order that we will not be weighed down by all of these influences, but we can rise and become free of them. And again, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the source of all life. V'atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. We should all be zeche to a year of life, and a year of brocha, and a year of shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.